We are going to spend 12 hours to study the gospel according to John. It's very interesting that the Bible uses four books to describe a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Usually, when a truth seeker comes to the church, we recommend the truth seeker to study the Bible. And if you are the person who follow up the truth seeker, which book are you going to recommend the truth seeker to study first? Is that from Revelation? Luke. Usually we recommend the truth seeker start from the four gospels. Because some of the books are very profound. And even in the Old Testament, sometimes it talk a lot of events and a lot of person. Because the central figure of the Bible is Jesus Christ. The central figure of Bible is Jesus Christ. Old Testament is a prophecy of the coming of the Savior. It's like a shadow. And New Testament is a fulfillment of this prophecy. The real person come out. And the real person is Jesus Christ himself. No wonder out of 66 books, four books has been used to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And even the Bible used four books to tell the person of Jesus Christ. We can discover that the four books try to emphasize on Jesus Christ from different aspects. So you look the things from different aspects and then you can have a whole picture about who is Jesus Christ. Just like if you are engaging different career, you look at person from different point of view, right? If you are a physician, you look at person, if you're old, maybe this person is sick. Some people went to the art museum and look into the smile of Mona Lisa, right? And the physician say, this person is sick, has some kind of liver problem, because the face looks pale, right? But if you are a businessman, you look at person, you think about, oh, maybe I can make some money out of this person, right? But if you are a person who learns the language, the first thing you will pay attention is, well, his English, he has an accent. So different, one person, you have different person look into the same person. You have different way to describe the person. And so if you hear everybody talk about the same person, you will come out with a picture of what kind of person is, all right? Because many people describe a person from different point of view. So that is the reason, if you want to understand a person, sometimes you have to talk with this one, talk with them, talk with different one, and to see how does everybody comment about the person. And same with the Bible. Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John, four different persons try to describe who is Jesus Christ. And the first three books called Synoptic Gospel. The fourth book, John, has been excluded from Synoptic Gospel. Because this is a very unique book. If you read the four Gospel, you will find out. Let us see the first chapter to see what the difference. What does Matthew chapter 1 start from? It starts from the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So the Matthew tried to emphasize Jesus is a man So he emphasized on genealogy. He is a historical person. Really, in the human history, there was a person called Jesus Christ. So he has a genealogy. All the way traced back to Abraham and traced back to Adam and then God. Now, you look into the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1, did not mention any birth of Jesus. He talked about the John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and then the baptism of Jesus Christ. And in the book, Mark talks about a lot of miracle and power performed by Jesus Christ. Jesus' authority was revealed through his preaching, through his cast out the demon, through his miracle, wonder and signs. And if we refer to the book of Luke, and the chapter 1 of book of Luke talk about John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist, the prophecy of Jesus' birth. Chapter 2 talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. So it's very similar to the book of Matthew. Try to let us understand Jesus was born by a virgin which fulfilled the prophecy in the book of Isaiah. However, if we read the book of John, chapter 1, you look into the book of John, chapter 1. Now it's very unique. Chapter 14 talk about Jesus came to the world. The words became flesh. John, chapter 1. Verse 14. The words become the flesh and dwell among us. Chapter 14 talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. The word become the flesh and dwell among us. Very similar to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. But especially mentioned the words become the flesh. And before chapter 14, chapter 1, verse 14, from chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 13, the book of John tried to tell us the divine character of Jesus Christ, his divine origin, his is a deity of God. So from the first chapter, we understand the book of John tried to emphasize the deity of Jesus, the divine nature of Jesus, more than other three books. We can give a title to the whole book. The title tries to introduce us that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke tried to emphasize Jesus is the Son of Man. Same with the book of Luke. But John tried to emphasize Jesus is the Son of God. So this book emphasizes the eternal origin and divine nature of this man. So among the four books, maybe the book of John is the most profound book. the Godhead, Godhead. In the book of John, I mentioned a lot. So-called only one God or the Trinity. Actually, if you see a lot of debate, a lot of verses has been quoted from the book of John. So this is a very profound book. Let's see point one. A special emphasis of John is the deity of Jesus consists chiefly of Jesus' discourses and conversations. Given things Jesus said rather than Jesus did. So you can see a lot of description about what Jesus said and what Jesus what does that mean, instead of talking a lot of miracle, wonder, and signs. And in the book of John, of course, there are different theory about who authored this book, but traditionally, it was commonly believed that John was the one who wrote the book. Point two, Jesus used the phrase "I am" seven times as a self-description or self-introduction in the book of John. Okay, yesterday we already suggest you, not request you, to preview this chapter, right? This page. Now I want to ask for volunteer. Who can recite the seven self-introduction of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. One. Only one. No. I just want to know who can remember the seven self-introduction of Jesus Christ in the book of John. Not many, huh? Not even one tenth. Oh. Well, I look you are so leisure and so enjoy yourself outside. I thought you already finished your preparation. But it seems a lot of work has to be done, was not done yet. The seven self-introduction of Jesus Christ. This is very important. Before we come to this, let us read the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Moses tried to ask God, "What is your name?" So if somebody asks me, "Who sent you?" I can tell him, "My God sent me." So Moses asked God, "What's your name?" And God answered, "I am who I am." I am who I am. Right? This why I am who I am. In the Greek, it's very difficult to pronounce. So I am who I am. Actually, in the original text of the Hebrew, there's no way for you to pronounce. So later on, they add some of the words and come out with a word called Jehovah. Actually, Jehovah is not the name of God. In the Old Testament, God said that my name is I am who I am. Okay. And so when Jesus Christ in the world, he tried to introduce himself. In the John chapter 8, let's see, John chapter 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. And Jesus said, to them, truly, truly, I said to you, before Abraham was, I am. Think about, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham, Jesus used the past tense because Abraham already died 1,000 years. And before Abraham was, I am. Which, what does that mean? What does that mean? Okay. Can anybody say, before my grandfather was, I am? Maybe you don't know the English very well, or you have something wrong with your mind, right? Because I am means I am living. I was means the person already died. But before Abraham was, Abraham died few thousand years ago, I am. I already exist. And I am still exist until now. So I am who I am. The Greek say YHWH. Can anybody pronounce how to pronounce it? YHWH. Anybody pronounce it? How to pronounce it? YHWH. Very difficult. Very difficult. Okay. So this is the God say I am who I am. In this writing. And when Jesus Christ used the seven self-introduction, he said, I am. Actually, the term is the same with the Exodus chapter 3. I am who I am. And the same with John chapter 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. So from what Jesus introduced himself, we can understand he was a very unique person. He is the same with us, the same nature with us, but he is different because he is man and also he is God. He is the Word came to the world, become the flesh. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, can anybody recite Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? Don't open the Bible. Don't look into the Bible. Yesterday you are supposed to preview it. Anybody can recite Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Raise your hand. Okay. I hope that you can spend more time to study. And this is a very important verse, so frequently being quoted in the evangelical service. Look into Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There was a son, a child being born to us. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And who was this child? Jesus Christ is this child. And he came to the world. The first mission is to be the Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful means what? Majestic. Is out of your understanding, out of your imagination. Wonderful. A counselor means will help us to solve our problem. In our life, especially when you are young, you have a lot of uncertainty in front of you, waiting for you to take action, to make decision. Which school are you going to study? right? And what kind of job are you going to take? And to whom are you going to get married? And a lot of other important decision waiting for you to make decision, right? And sometimes you wonder, I have so many questions. To whom shall I ask for advice? And sometimes you think about, let me ask for advice from my best friend, or some even go for the psychiatrist or a counselor in the school. But eventually, you will experience that the most essential issue in your life, you can get answer from Jesus Christ. Beside Jesus Christ, there is no answer. So surely, I am is the eternal essence of God. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He is a wonderful counselor. He can resolve the problem of human life. All the problem in your life, Jesus Christ has answer. Because He is the Almighty God, and He has all different kind of wisdom. So there is no problem Jesus has no answer. Even the Bible was written a few thousand years ago, but still, this is the words of God. This is the truth. I will give you the answer. And what is the answer Jesus Christ is going to give us about your problem? And He Himself is going to be the answer of your problem. He is not going to give you answer. Somebody give you answer. I give you answer, or you can find some person. I give you answer to look another resolution. But Jesus will give you the answer, and His answer is, I myself is the answer. If you have me, you have the answer. If you have me, everything is okay. So essential question, essential problem in your life, Jesus is the answer. Now, without Jesus, no answer. With Jesus, no question, no problem. So simple. So sometimes you go out of Jesus, try to find the answer of your difficulty. You go everywhere, it seems no answer. But you come back to Jesus, it's so simple, the answer is here. Now, let us think about one by one. How come His self-introduction is a seven answer to seven essential problems of our human life? Before we go into it, let me think about, let me ask you some question. Forget about the Bible, what will be your answer? The first question is, how can a human's heart really be satisfied? How can your heart really gain satisfaction? How can you really satisfied? What's the answer? If you don't look into the teaching of the Bible, how can a person really satisfied in the bottom of his heart? You know, this is a generation of hungry, a generation of emptiness. How can you tell? So many people emphasize so much on entertainment. We are not saying entertainment is wrong. But if a person relies too much on entertainment, the fact is a reflection that the person's heart is empty. Because it's empty, so you have to use all different means to fulfill your emptiness. So you see, so many people need so much entertainment. But if a Christian has to rely on entertainment to kill the time, this is a reflection that Jesus was not in this person's life. He was not filled by Jesus Christ. Why? Because the first self-introduction, how did Jesus introduce Himself? How did Jesus introduce Himself? The first self-introduction. I am the bread of life. Then what is next? John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who come to me shall never hungry. He who believe in shall never thirst. Right? Shall never hungry, shall never thirst. If a person never hungry and never thirst, I think this person can only work 20 hours a week. Because you use a lot of money eating and drinking. Right. You're never hungry, never thirst, you can save a lot of money. Oh. Right. But Jesus say, who come to me will never hunger and never thirst. What does that mean? That means in your heart, you will never feel hungry and thirst. In another word, you will never feel emptiness. In a very contemporary words is you will never get bored. Oh, right. We keep on saying emptiness. I never feel angry, but if I ask you another question, are you very easy to get bored? Yes, that means you are very hungry in your heart. Oh. So, Jesus is the answer. In the summertime, I know a lot of you keep on watching the rerun of the TV. Well, I already watched that. All right? You keep on changing the channel, but still the rerun. What can you do? I give you a very simple answer, but you don't want to accept. If you feel very hungry, very boring, just kneel down and pray for 30 minutes. Oh, if you still feel very boring, another 30 minutes. Yes. Oh. Until you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you feel that TV has no attraction at all. It's boring. How can you look at the TV? It's nothing. Nothing inside. No. So the true answer is from Jesus himself. Read more Bible and pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. You can save a lot of entertainment bill. You don't have to pay that. You don't need the cable TV or premium cable TV. You can save it. Not because you feel very painful. You turn it off, but because you don't need that. I am the bread of life. Now you know the generation now. So many people get drink the wine. Why? Because emptiness. One day you get bored, get on board the airplane, especially in the business class. As soon as the airplane took off, everybody drink the wine. Right? A small bottle of wine, $3 still, two, three bottles. Why? Feeding, their heart is empty. Or a drug. Not only the blue color, no, white color, they use a drug too. So that's a reflection, the emptiness of heart, or sexual immorality. A lot of young kids growing up from a broken family. The family is only a motel, not a house, not a family. The family has very good equipment, every kind of entertainment, but no love inside. The young kids grow up there, they have everything. They go out, drive BMW, have a lot of cash in the pocket, but still the heart is empty. And the easiest way to get excited is sexual immorality. No. So no wonder so many young kids get involved with that. They don't know what they are doing, but they still do it. Why? Because they get bored. No. So Jesus is the answer of your life, fulfillment of your life. It's so simple, but it's so easy, but do you want to accept it as the answer of your life? There are a lot of sin attached to the fun in the world. Right? In the summertime, you want to have fun. Yes. But you have been taught so much in the Bible. You know, you want to pursue fun, but don't go astray. But for a lot of people, when they try to pursue something, have fun, they go into the sinful way. The sin attached to that. So a lot of things had a lot of fun, just like the bait, try to catch the fish, the hook inside, right? The fish swallow the bait, but has been catched by the hook. A lot of things you feel a lot of fun, but actually, there's a hook inside, a once you are caught, your life will turn into the sinful lifestyle. So this is the first self-introduction. I am the bread of life. And this I am is last forever. When you are 10 years old, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When you are 50 years old, Jesus will never say, I was the bread of life. But now I am not. We're never dead. 50 years old, still I am the bread of life. When you are very old, 80 years old, still I am the bread of life. Forever. It never changed. So this is self-introduction. Very important. So you come here, you are not learning, you are reciting, I am the bread of life, and go back and still watching the TV 2-3 hours. I am the bread of life in your mind. But your eyes still focus on the television. That doesn't make any sense. You learn Jesus is the best friend. He's a wonderful counselor. And why not be close to him and really to enjoy this bread, this spiritual bread, and be fulfilled and go back home. You try to turn on the TV to look. TV is not attractive at all. Because I am fulfilled in my heart. There's nothing inside. That's boring. When you look at TV, you get bored. Really. A lot of people on no TV get bored. But when you are filled by the Jesus Christ, you look at TV, you get bored. What kind of program it is? No life inside. Waste of your time. No benefit at all. So Jesus is the answer of this generation. I am the bread of life. We all hope after attending NYTS, your spiritual life can be fulfilled. The second, how did Jesus introduce himself? If I ask you a question, without looking into the Bible for answer, if I ask you a question, what is the purpose of life? What will be your answer? We ask a question, what is the purpose of life? What will be your answer? It was a young kid attending our evangelical service and go back home, ask the father, what is the purpose of life? The father, don't think about too much. You are a student, as long as you get straight A, that's okay. Well, that's probably because he is a student. But the more possible is the father has no answer. What is the purpose of life? I asked the junior class, one of the young kids, very responsive. The purpose of life is to have fun. The young kids. But one day, when you look into older people, if you have the opportunity to visit the adolescent house, a lot of elderly people there, their life actually no fun at all. The eyesight grow dim, right? The ear become what? So heavy, right? I cannot hear anything. The voice trembling. Your back bent over, right? And you walk so slowly. You need somebody to take care of you. Gradually you return to be like a childhood. No fun at all. Then what is the purpose of life? You ask them, what is the purpose of life? You put the music, they cannot listen. You want to have delicious food, they cannot eat. You want to watch the TV, their eyesight is blur. They cannot watch it. So what is the purpose of life? One day, sooner or later, we are going to reach that kind of stage. Nobody can give you answer. What is the purpose of life? Nobody. If nobody can you give you the answer, what is the purpose of life, then why are you so busy? Right? How come you did not come to the church? Do you know? I'm very busy. Why are you so busy? Right? You are so busy, but you don't have a purpose of life. What does that mean? You are driving a car very fast, but you don't know where are you going to go. So what does that mean? Meaningless. It becomes meaningless. So you think about, without a eternal purpose, life is meaningless. But nobody can give you a purpose. Nobody. You go to all different kind of philosophy. Nobody can give you an answer. But when you come back to Jesus, the answer is so clear. I am the light of the world. He who come to me will never walk in darkness. Will never walk in darkness means you are going to see your right way. You are going to see your right goal if you follow me. In other words, in the world, if there is no Jesus Christ, the people is going to get lost. It's going to get lost. Because without light, you are going to get lost. So a few hundred years ago, you know the lighthouse in the coastal area is so important, right? One day I was in Hawaii. I went to the Bishop Museum. I'm very curious, where did Hawaiian come from? And then all of a sudden, I was so shocked. Hawaiian people actually come from the Filipino, same with the Filipino. And then they traveled to Samoa Island, and then from Samoa Island to Hawaii. And 1,000 years ago, how did they travel? They look into the sky. The sky has the star, has the moon, and daytime there's a sun. So use that as small light, they can identify the direction. If the heavy cloud cover or stone come, and then they will totally get lost in the ocean. Now, let us think about where is your star, unchanging light, which will guide your direction. Where? Everything is changing. Do you know? Everything is changing. 20 years ago, people like to study physics. And some of them like to study double E, right? But right now, the hardest to study maybe computer. Everything is changing in the world. Everything is changing. You can never find one thing never change. Can guide your direction into a very eternal purpose. No way. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you want to have a direction, if you want to have a goal, if you want to have a meaningful life, there is no other way but come to Jesus. He is the light of the world. So this is the second self-introduction. So 30 years later, 50 years later, he still the light of the world, will guide the world. Chapter 10, John chapter 10. If somebody asks you a question, if there is God, how can I get connected with this true God? Right? If there is God, how can I really have experience and be close to this God? What would be your answer? So a lot of people know there is God, do you know? So they try to pursue God from different direction. All different religion actually have same purpose. They try to pursue after God. Except Buddhism. Actually, Buddhism has no God inside. All the other religion, Muslim or all the other religion, they are trying to pursue after God. But where is the key we can really get into the spiritual realm to have no more knowledge about God, to have more experience about God? Where is the key? Today, if you come to the church and the door is locked, you cannot come in because the door is locked. Right? Maybe one day after resurrection, there's now or not never a problem, right? You go and go, you come and come. But before that day, if the door is locked, it's locked. You cannot come in. And Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the gate. What does that mean? If gate is open, you go in, you can enter into another room, another kingdom. Just like nowadays in the United States, you go into the airport, it's a gate, it's the entrance of the United States. They guard it tightly. They give you double check tightly. Gate. Jesus is a gate. So if you want to have a relation with God, you won't go into the kingdom of God. There is no other way. The only entrance is Jesus Christ himself. No other way. Jesus Christ is the gate. Is the gate to the kingdom of God. So the first message preached by Jesus, what was the first message preached by Jesus? The first message of Jesus' ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Well, this is called NYTS. Do you know what is NYTS? National Youth Theological Seminar. Theological, this is not spiritual convocation. Theological seminar. It should be higher than the spiritual convocation. Theological. So we hope you spend more time to study. I am the gate. Jesus is the answer. If you want to have a relation with God, into the kingdom of God, the key point is Jesus Christ. So this is the chapter 10, verse 7. Let me ask you another question. How can you have a feeling of security, very secure feeling, very peaceful, very secure feeling? You know, in United States, we don't have job security. That's all everybody knows. Have you ever heard a brother or sister working in a company for 30 years and retired? Yes, but not many. Okay, have you heard anybody in the United States working in a company for 30 years and retired in the same company? Not likely, very unlikely. When the company start to make money, keep on expansion, right? And then hire a lot of people. So when the dot-com is very prosperous, a lot of people will hire, right? But when the company start to lose the money, they cut and cut and cut, and you lose your job. So no wonder if you ask a person who engage in real estate business, they will tell you the average is about 6 to 7 years, and the people will sell the house. 6 to 7, the longest 8 years. The ownership of the house is around 6 to 8 years. Why? Because once you lose the job, you have to find another job, and then you have to relocate to another location. So because of this, we don't have a feeling of security. Yes, you have paying the Social Security every month, but you have to wait until 65. You are born in 1960. You have to work until 67 or 68 until you can enjoy the Social Security, right? The other way is disability, right? Do you like it? I don't think you like it, right? So you have to self-support until you are 67. But so often you will be fired out of job. After you get married, you have the monthly mortgage, you have the telephone bill, you have a lot of bill you have to pay, and you all of a sudden you lose your work. What can you do? So every day, people are living in anxiety and pressure, anxiety and pressure, without feeling of security. Especially if you get older. When you are 50 years old, 55 years old, once you are fired, very difficult to find a job. Unless you are smart like Einstein, there will be no problem. Otherwise, very difficult. So how can you have a feeling of security? How? Of course, some people say you buy insurance. Right? Yes, there may be one of the ways. But the answer is Jesus Christ. Let's see chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Do you remember Psalm chapter 23, verse 1? Who can recite it? Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. Who can recite it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall be want, or I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Right? What does that mean, I shall not be in want? He is a shepherd. He will provide. So our security are not coming from because I'm strong, I don't need insurance, I will never get sick. Not because of that. It's not because I have a very good driving skill, I will never get accident. No. The security feeling is coming from the Lord. Our Jesus Christ is with us every day. He is the Almighty God, right? And we can hide inside Him. He's just like a rock. We are just like a rabbit. Sometimes the lion is chasing us, right? You just go into the rock, some kind of crack of rock, go inside it, and the lion can never catch you. Hide yourself under the deepest place of Jesus Christ. And there is a security feeling, secure feeling. If we really have Jesus with us, no matter what happens, you will never worry. Because Jesus loves you more than your biological father loves you. If you look into the historical events, when the Israelites come out of Egypt, how much food did they carry? Okay, they count 3 meals a day, 2 million people, and supposed to 6 months, the food will be so heavy to a point that they can never get out of Egypt. Okay, suppose we suggest them to fast 1 meal. We eat 2 meals and 2 million people and 6 months, still too heavy. What can you do? So when they come out of Egypt, empty-handed, right? They come with the promise of God. They come with the divine guidance of God. They come with strong faith. And they see miracle every day. The Red Sea opened. And the rock flowed the water. And manna come from heaven. 40 years. Even the clothes are never worn out. The shoes are the same. And you can never find a shoe can wear 40 years. Even Nike can never last so long. Right? But in the wilderness, the shoe can last for 40 years. That's because God was their shepherd. God provided their needs. So our security feeling coming from the abundance of God. God is with me, so I don't worry. He feed the sparrow, He will feed me too, right? Because $1 can buy 1,000 of sparrow. So cheap of sparrow. But how precious I am, right? In the eyes of God, how precious I am. Think about. And you have confidence about Jesus, your heart feels released. Don't worry. God will take care of you. So Jesus will give us answer a lot of practical questions of our daily life, and He Himself is the answer. So wonderful. Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. If you are encountering somebody who is afraid of death, what is your advice? I am scared about death. What is your advice? If somebody is so afraid about death, what is your advice? I want to ask you your question. Give me an answer. Not from the Bible. If somebody is so afraid of death, last week I heard a brother testify that his father-in-law had some kind of heart problem, was hospitalized. He mentioned that his father was holding that the bed, the iron bar in the bed, and trembling the whole night, because his father-in-law thought he was dying in that evening, was trembling and just, he tries to comfort them, don't worry, don't worry, you are not going to have heart attack, trembling, until he was exhausted and fall asleep. I went to the Chile, San Diego. There was a brother's mother told me, I love your church preacher very much, so I entertain him so good. But do you know what your preacher told me? Your preacher asked me, one day if you die, where are you going to go? When the preacher asked her the question, she was unable to sleep for 3 days. At that time, she was about 80 years old. Because the thing she was afraid the most is to hear the term of death. Oh, death. So she just tried to self-comfort by not hearing the term of death. I know why the preacher asked her the question, because the preacher continued trying to preach the gospel to her, but she still don't want to believe. But the last way is to give a very heavy medicine. If you die, where are you going to go? A lot of people are afraid of death. What is your answer? If a person is afraid of death, what is your answer? What would be your answer? If you go to a hospital, right? Your friend or sick badly, almost going to die. What are you going to comfort the friend? Don't worry, don't worry. Is that right? Don't worry, don't worry. This will never happen to you. You are still young. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yes, what I say is, if we talk about God, is there any way you can talk to the person and the person can die happily? Is there any way in the world? No way. No way. What is the strongest enemy in the world? Not the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. No. A few smart bombs can destroy them all. Right? The strongest enemy in the world is death. Death. You see, nobody has ever overcome death. All surrender when death comes, right? That is stronger enemy. Even including you and me. So if a person really afraid of death, the only answer is Jesus Christ. He can give you the answer, and He is the answer. John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus tell her, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes me, even though, will be resurrected. I am the resurrection, I am the life. Right? This is a very bold declaration. Have you ever heard a physician declare, I am the resurrection, I am the life? If any physician have this declaration, he cheats somebody. It's not honest at all. Now, a lot of very capable physicians, but one day will tell the immediate family, I'm very sorry, I do my best. Right? That Mother Nature take care of him. You cannot do anything anymore. Right? We are human beings. We cannot control people's life. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. You look into the story, Nazareth already died for 4 days, and a bad smell already, right? So when Jesus proclaimed, I am the resurrection, I am the life, minutes later, the dead person, you are going to make him resurrected. Otherwise, your self-proclamation will become a lie, right? So this is very bold proclamation. I am the resurrection, I am the life. And he went to see Nazareth, and Nazareth get up from the dead. So the only one answer, you can conquer the enemy of death is Jesus himself. So it's so important.
is so important. Jesus self-proclamation, I am. Forever, he is I am. He will never become I was, because he is a living God. And tomorrow we are going to continue. Please do preview it. Tomorrow, when we have the class, we are going to discuss section 3, the title of Jesus. Please think about, and I would like to ask you to explain what do that means, including Roman chapter 4.